Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
All right, good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. There's a brand new year, 2015. We are looking forward to it. I am especially looking forward to it because I have Nancy in the studio with me.
Yay!
Nancy is my in-house astrologer. She hasn't been with us since, what, September. So I know we talked a little bit about 2015 in September, but we're gonna delve right into it. We're not probably going to do the whole year, but because we're going to have you back.
Yes.
But we will get into probably the juiciest parts, which is like at least up until March, April, which will be, we'll chat about that. So we're going to talk about what's up in the Universal Sky. If you want more information about Nancy, go to her website, universalsky.com, and it should be coming up a new one soon, right?
Soon, hopefully. Probably another month.
Okay. So welcome, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. All right. So what's up in the Universal Sky?
Well, I like to start with the numerology every year.
Yes.
And as we know, 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 5 equals 8.
Yes.
Yes. That was fast. I know. So just to recap, last year was a 7 year.
Right.
Which was the principle of mastery through change. And a lot of times when we're dealing with the 7 vibration, we're dealing with spiritual growth, spiritual alignment. And a lot of people find that a heavy, difficult energy to maneuver. On the practical plane.
I think that
plane.
Was part of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that and Scorpio.
Saturn and Scorpio. Yes. Or Saturn finishing up its journey in Scorpio, like, because we'd already been in it for a year
and
a
bit
before.
But the year before was pretty tough, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's been a rough few years.
Like, it has.
From what everything I hear is that this is going to be the year that things turn around.
This is a year that things turn around as we've moved into an 8 year, which is the principle of courage and self-esteem. So it's a little bit different.
Okay.
But we're also dealing with 8 is the symbol for infinity when turned on the side.
Yep.
And it also represents success. So this is a year where you can tap into your infinite success potential.
So you look at the numerology through tarot.
Yes.
And it's not completely different with numerology, but the 8 year is usually what, a power year, and has to do with abundance and
yes. It does.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah.
The 8 reflects to the strength card in the tarot deck, which is ruled by the sign of Leo.
Okay.
So we're dealing with Leo issues, which is creativity, it's romance, it's children, as well as the ego versus the spirit.
Right.
Okay. So because it rules the sun in the universe, so Leo rules the sun. So we're looking at how the sun is changing signs every month. Okay. We're going to be working through this dynamic of gathering our inner strength, gathering compassion, using our creativity on a day-to-day basis,
okay?
Especially if it's in alignment with whatever goals you have that you want to be successful in this year.
Right.
Right? So the unconscious vibration is the number 17, which is the star card, which is connected to Aquarius.
Right. And usually Leo and Aquarius come together anyway. So
yeah, they do. They're opposite polarities, right? So Aquarius is opposite of Leo in the zodiac.
Right.
And with that, we're looking at the planet Uranus, which is in the sign of Aries since 2011.
Okay.
And it'll be there till 2019.
Which is good for me, but
I think it's good for everybody because it's allowing everybody to awaken to their heart center.
Nice, yes.
Right? To their truest potential.
Right.
So when we look at Leo, Aquarius, Sun, and Uranus interacting together, we're looking at the vibration of personal love versus universal love and trying to integrate the two, right? The personal love vibration with the universal love vibration.
Right.
So to me, it's a good thing. I like it. I'm liking the vibe already. You can already feel a shift in the energy.
Definitely.
Since January 1st. So
right. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
We started the year with Jupiter in the sign of Leo.
Okay.
Retrograde.
Right.
So it went retrograde. I got to take a look at my notes here.
Retrograde's up there.
Yeah, but I have it written down here too. Moved into Leo on July 16th, 2014, and it went retrograde on December 8th, 2014.
And it's usually retrograde for about 6 months?
It'll be going direct April 8th.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, at 12 degrees of Leo. So I'm actually looking forward to the direct, but I'm not finding the retrograde intense. It's more lessons around the ego versus heart-centeredness.
Right.
Right. So if we think about what the ego is, to me, I define the ego as your human identity, your human persona.
Okay.
Okay. Doing things on the physical plane requires your ego. Okay. Being more heart-centered, you're shifting it from your own self-identity, your own sense of desire, into thinking about the greater good.
Right.
Okay. So that it's not just for the self, it's for everyone on a beneficial level. Right. Or what you believe the greater good to be. Right. Because it follows intention, not necessarily what your beliefs are, but the intention behind your belief.
Okay. Right. Right.
So it's about opening up to that energy. Right. And being more heart-centered versus ego conscious.
Right. Right. Because that's the lesson.
Yes. Yeah. So you're going to find a lot of ego lessons.
Right.
Right. You'll attract clients that have major ego lessons on the go. Right. And it's about finding the ability to flip it into, okay, what's the lesson? If we remove the ego component, we need to look at the core of the situation, identify with the lesson, and then raise the vibration of that lesson. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. January is a month of release.
Right.
So typically, when we think of the month of January, we think of new beginnings, you know, we're planning, we're preparing, and of course that comes into play as well. So we need to be aware of what it is we want to create this year. But in the month of January, there's a couple aspects taking place towards the end. We have Pluto square North Node, as well as Uranus opposite North Node. And both of those energies are about releasing old habits, letting go of what no longer serves you.
Okay.
I don't normally look at North Node aspects, but because these are the only outer planetary configurations that are taking place, they kind of jumped out at me.
Right.
So Pluto square North Node is January 21st, and that's kind of like a turning point. So it's going to help people align with their life purpose.
Okay.
Okay. So there's this energy that's coming in saying, okay, you need to make these few changes, or you need to let go of these few things so that you can totally align with the path that you're supposed to be taking.
Nice.
And then we have Uranus opposite North Node on January 31st, which is truly about releasing old habits, colleagues, friends, anything that's not in alignment with the path that you're moving forward on.
Right.
Mercury also goes retrograde.
Yeah, I heard that. Right before my birthday, I believe.
Yeah. January 21st, the same day as Pluto square North Node. It will be stationing retrograde at 17 degrees of Aquarius.
Yes, yes.
So here we have an Aquarius activation.
Okay. So Mercury, is it already in Aquarius? Did it come into Aquarius already? Sorry.
I haven't been doing my daily tidbit lately because I've been doing a lot of
you have 15th.
Oh, I was right on the page.
You were right on the page.
Okay, and I don't have my glasses. So it is Mercury moves into Aquarius around the 5th, 6th.
So
Just happened.
All right.
We started the year with Mercury in Capricorn, but it just happened.
Right. And we had that brutal full moon.
I didn't think it was that brutal.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually had a great day that day, but a lot of people were complaining about it.
It was okay for me because I stayed home. I didn't sleep.
Okay.
But
that is one of the things though that people were complaining of.
Yeah.
That
no
they
sleep.
Weren't able to sleep.
My mind was on overdrive. In terms of not being able to shut it down at nighttime. Right.
Right.
On the full moon. But other than that, it was a good day for me.
Good day. Well, it was a good day for me, but I could tell that, like, I could feel the energies weird.
Yeah.
Like they were a strange one. And there was, I don't know, some people were talking about a grand cross.
Oh, possibly.
So
the moon?
It was with the moon, the sun, Pluto, and a smaller planet, I believe. But
yeah, it's quite possible there was. But I don't necessarily pay attention to the
moon. Unless it sticks out. Yeah. Well, that they say that it's the, you know, it's one of the, it was supposed to be the toughest of like the year. So yes. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, and that's good. If that was the toughest, I'm good.
Well, as I said, I had a great day that day. So was it the 4th or the 5th? It was
the 4th.
Yeah.
I believe.
Whatever it would, that was Sunday? Sunday. But like late at night, Sunday at like 10:30 or something, right? Yeah, that's Sunday.
Okay, according to the ephemeris, it was the 5th at 5 Eastern? In the morning, 4:54 a.m.
Eastern?
No, time? That would be GMT.
Yeah.
So minus 5?
I saw that it was 10:30, so I don't know. Anyway, it was the 4th.
It's all good.
That's
4th, 5th, somewhere in there.
Somewhere around there, yes.
We would have experienced it at nighttime anyways.
Yes, which is why a lot of people weren't sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
The moon is not very powerful in the sign of Capricorn, or it doesn't like to be in the sign of Capricorn.
The moon doesn't like to be in Capricorn.
Yeah.
Okay.
The moon doesn't like to be. The expression of the moon is not at its fullest when in the sign of Capricorn. So because the moon is ruled by Cancer, whenever the planetary rulership is in the opposite sign, it's at its weakest.
Okay.
Okay. So there was this weak energy with the moon, even though it felt like a very strong moon and it was playing havoc in a lot of people's lives. It was actually in a weak position.
Hmm. Interesting. Was it a supermoon? Did I hear that? I think I heard that.
Did you? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know what a supermoon is.
Wow. It's just closer to the Earth.
Okay.
Right? Oh, no, that's the new moons that are supposed to be supermoons for the next few. Which is interesting because they're both in Aquarius. Two of them.
There's two of them, yes.
I mean, when does that happen, right?
And in the year of an eight. It's the 16-8. It's a Leo Aquarius year.
But it's like...
So there's two potentials for new beginnings when it comes to manifesting your hopes, wishes, and dreams, or even planting the seeds towards hope, wishes, and dreams.
Well, one's at 0 degrees and the other one's at 29.59.
One's at zero and the other one, yeah. Oh, wow.
3 minutes before the sun goes into Pisces.
3 seconds before the sun goes in.
I had looked into according, it.
Well, it says 2960 in my ephemeris.
Oh,
so 2960 is the next degree.
Yeah.
Right? So it's obviously 2959 and then just like a few seconds left before it hits the
It's crazy. I mean, when does that happen?
Yeah. Not very often.
No.
So, and that's a completion.
Right.
Okay. So whenever we're dealing with something at a 29 degree mark, we're dealing with completion energy. So here we're planting seeds of something we need to finish.
So is it whatever we start for the new moon, for the new one in January, or is it from
it's
like
a
year before? Or
it can be from a year before. Yeah, exactly. It can be from the full moon in Aquarius, which would be 6 months.
Right.
Right, which would have been August, I believe, August of last year. So, and then, of course, you can also measure it month to month. Every time the moon is in Aquarius and it's different phases, you can see the different steps. And it can be just one of them or it can be all of them.
Right.
Right? It all depends on what's the core issue, what's the core creation with that particular new moon.
Right.
So really measure, like take a look at your life. At those points and times and reflect back.
Yeah. So we're going to end the new beginnings because we had a whole slew of like four or five, didn't we? Or four at least, new moons that started at 0 degrees.
Yes.
Then it's gone to the 29. I think we only have two on the 29 and then the next one's like the 20 at 28, which isn't a huge... Which is still close, but not...
It's still close towards completion, but it's not... Yeah, so then the new moon in Pisces is also at 29 degrees. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a very intense one. That's in March. That's also an eclipse.
Oh, that's right. Is that the 21st one?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is karmic completion. Because when we're dealing with the sign of Pisces, we're dealing with things that are on a super subconscious level. So really deep within the subconscious or unconscious mind, as well as things that we are not aware of, right? Right. So that's where we look at the spiritual significance of things. So lessons that we're not aware of that we're learning,
right?
Where the stuff from our subconscious or unconscious comes up and, you know, does a little few little things.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it'll be an intense day, I think.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a good day, but it might be intense.
And it's not just the day, because it's an eclipse. We're dealing with series of time, right? So we're dealing with 2 weeks before to 2 weeks after. And then there's also another eclipse 2 weeks after. So we're in a six-week window. Whenever we're dealing with eclipses, we're dealing with 6 weeks of intensity.
Right. Right.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. If you know where Pisces is in your chart, then that's the area of life it'll be affecting. Okay, if you know where that degree is.
Okay.
For me, it's the seventh house, which is relationship. Right?
Right.
I already know I have some things to finish up in relationship. So I'm seeing it as all good.
See, I don't know what house is in. I just know Pisces is in. It's Pisces.
Where's your Aquarius?
Oh, yeah. Seventh house. So it's the eighth or ninth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's other people's money.
Taxes.
Or what's nine?
Nine is higher consciousness, spirituality.
Okay.
Or religion, I should say.
Right.
But yes, so it's all good.
It's all good. Although that week is going to be a brutal week. But anyway.
Yes, I do have the eclipses here somewhere.
Okay.
If you want to talk about them now. Eclipses.
Let's see, when do we need to go for a break? Oh, we can go for break now.
Okay, and we'll come back to the eclipses.
Absolutely. So you are listening to News for the Heart. We are getting to the heart of what matters with regards to 2015 with Nancy Arruda and myself, Lori Houston, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better? Why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with bmajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com. Or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. I have Nancy Arruda. Again, if you want to know more about Nancy, go to her website, universalsky.com. And we are talking about what's up in the universal sky for 2015.
Yes.
Woohoo! I keep getting excited about it because everybody is saying this is going to be a positive year.
It is. And not to try and
also
determine
Chinese
what
astrology.
That means.
Chinese astrology, it's the eighth sign, which is the year of the sheep, ram, whichever one you.
Yeah,
so that's
a goat. So sheep, ram, goat. No? I heard goat.
No, goat's a completely different thing.
Is it?
I thought so.
I could be wrong.
Interesting. Well,
I haven't really looked at it. I just heard somebody say goat.
No, it's ram or sheep, but I thought goat was something else completely. But maybe it's not. Maybe they're all together.
That was my bug.
I know. I don't think it would have been heard. Maybe on here. Okay. I don't know about the goat. Anyway.
I don't know about the goat either. I'm not a Chinese astrologer, so I have no idea.
But the sheep and the ram, from what I hear, like a goat has a different energy to me than a sheep or a ram. But from what I hear, it's the exact same as what they're predicting in Western astrology.
Cool.
Yeah. They're saying it's, you know, power year. It's all about, well, they have an emphasis on health as well as prosperity.
Yes.
So... yeah, and it's an 8 year, which is lucky
along with a rooster.
Right. Right. Okay. Well,
that's all I know about Chinese astrology is I'm a rooster.
There you go. From what I hear, they're a very, sheep more than ram, but, they're very gentle. So I think they get along with pretty much everybody from what I remember reading anyway. So.
All right. Eclipses.
Eclipses.
So we were talking a little bit about the eclipse. I just wanted to give dates and times. So we have the new moon solar eclipse at 29 degrees of Pisces, 27 minutes, on March 20th.
Right.
2015 at 5:36 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Okay. That's March 20th?
Yes. Is it daylight time then? Or is it still standard?
I thought daylight... didn't come in until April, but they keep changing that, so it could be March.
It could be daylight.
It could be. Do you want me to check while you're talking? I can check while you're talking.
My computer came up with daylight time.
It did?
Yes. So, but again, you can't always trust programs these days. There's always a little glitch.
That's true.
So this particular moon is about, it is the power of self-transformation through visualization of the desire. And the two key ingredients are emotion and will.
March 8th is when we go into daylight savings.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the eclipse is not on the 8th.
But that's crazy. That seems so early.
It does.
But apparently last year it was March 9th, so it's not that much earlier. I don't know. That just seems really early to me. I guess to try and get in that. I mean, when it's an equinox, the sun does it, like it gets brighter quicker. The equinoxes, that's when the most movement.
That's when the earth tilts.
Right.
Right. So the earth actually tilts on its axis a little bit, giving us a different perspective of the sun. So we get more daylight because the earth is tilted for us to receive more daylight.
Like March, it'll be over an hour that we'll get
in
that month. But when it's just the, what's December in, what's that called?
Winter.
Solstice. So solstice, we have the least amount of time. Like you hardly move at all. The sun, they say solstice means the sun stays still.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So we hardly have any time change in the month of December and then in the month of June.
Yes, summertime.
Yeah. Well, in the northern hemisphere.
Right. Summertime.
In the northern hemisphere.
Right. I will agree with that.
Okay. Okay, so back
Power
to
summertime.
Eclipses. So it is, but it is during, I mean, it's the same day as the equinox.
Equinox is?
The 20th.
Oh, is it the 20th this year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because sometimes it's 21st.
It's 21st, yes.
And again, it all depends on your time zone as well, right?
Mm. Yeah, you want me to look that up?
No, we don't need to look that up.
But yeah, probably.
I'd already spoke about that. Okay, so we're looking at karmic completion.
Right.
Through visualization of the desire. So whatever it is you are finishing, you need to use the tool of visualization to assist you in this journey.
Okay.
And the key ingredients are emotion and will. So we're using our emotions and our willpower in order to finish up what it is we need to finish.
Hmm.
Okay. So I don't want to say it's easy. I don't want to say it's hard, because it's not really about easy or hard. It's about finding the right mix of what works for each individual.
But we're talking the March 20th, right? And yes. Like 4 days earlier, we have something that we'll talk about later that will make that week a wee bit more challenging.
Yes.
Although, you know, maybe the completion of it means that it will be the freedom of it and we won't have a difficult week.
Well, I'm looking at this as a perfect opportunity to file for divorce,
okay.
Which to me is not a bad thing.
Right.
Right. So it's about finishing up a relationship dynamic, which allows me to move forward.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not seeing that as a bad thing.
Right. Oh, this is your eclipse of. Yeah. Right. Because it's in your
relationship. Because it's in my relationship house. Right. So I see it as a good thing.
Right. Yeah. No, for sure. I can't. Oh, yeah.
And any other ties that are connected should be completed by then as well for me. Right. So I don't know. I see that as a good thing. Then we have the full moon lunar eclipse on April the 4th, 2015 at 8:05 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Right. And with full moon eclipse, we're releasing and letting go of what no longer serves us.
We were going to talk about the fact that the first one, well, the first two are actually totals. So the solar may be a little bit more intense because it's a total. Not that we'll see it in North America. In fact, the only people that will see it, well, the people that I think Norway, they said, will get the perfect view of the
eclipse,
solar eclipse, which.
Okay. You know, so if they're totals, we don't want to look at them at all.
Exactly. And they're saying that, you know, definitely the moon will actually block out like it's a total.
Sun.
Yeah. It will appear larger than. So it will completely block it out, but it'll have all that. Yeah.
Cool.
We won't see it at all because it's at
5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm asleep.
Well, and the sun isn't up yet. So that's the problem.
The full moon lunar eclipse is about releasing and letting go what no longer serves you. And here we're releasing repetitive patterns or cycles or habits that aren't serving us. So really good time to quit smoking, you know, get rid of any habits that don't serve you, breaking those addictions.
And lunar eclipses are usually stronger than solar eclipses.
Yeah. Yeah. They're stronger in the sense that we're letting go of more stuff. A solar eclipse is more like you're releasing what's stopping you from embracing what you want to be doing.
Okay.
Right?
Right?
Where a lunar eclipse is letting go and releasing what no longer serves you. And typically when we let go of something that doesn't serve us, the reason we're still attached to it is because on some level it's serving a purpose. It's just not serving a purpose for our higher good.
Right.
At that point in time.
Okay.
Right? So it doesn't mean letting go is going to be any easier.
No.
It just means we're being energetically supported to let go.
Okay.
So it's, to me, when we're being energetically supported, there's more sustainability.
Right.
So we can sustain that letting go of.
Okay.
Right. So when we're thinking in terms of quitting smoking, for example, I like to say becoming a non-smoker.
Right.
It's supporting your journey and path of making that habitual change.
Okay.
Right. You still have to go through the withdrawal process.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
There's just more support on the journey as you go through it.
Interesting. So that's a good time for people to make changes.
Make changes.
Lifestyle changes.
Lifestyle changes. Let go of habits that aren't serving you. I know a lot of people this year said, I'm getting off Facebook. I'm going to take the year off Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I had 3 or 4 people that I'm connected with.
Say that
they're giving up Facebook for the year and they're closing their account for the year. Because they want to focus on other things. And they believe that Facebook was taking away from spending time with their children or...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I find that hard to believe. But I'm, you know...
But in today's society of technology in your hands...
I know. Yeah.
Right?
Everything is
You could be on a family outing and be in your phone. You're not really engaging in your relationship with your family.
Well, that's sad if that's really what's happening. I mean, I know that that is what happens to a lot of people, especially a lot of men who are very work oriented. They, you know, they're always on it for work. See,
but
Facebook,
it's not always work.
Well, that's what I mean. I was just, that's where I was going with
work
that.
Work is the excuse. It's often, it's Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy that we are so, addicted to the social media. I don't know. Interesting. And, let me know how they do.
Well, you know what? It's just a distraction. That's what social media is. It's a distraction from having you be in alignment with your life purpose.
But everything's a distraction.
Absolutely.
I mean, everything is, unless you're, you know, 100% in your inner world and present. And...
Which is where I like to be.
Sure. We all want to be there. That is the goal. But yes, we do get distracted.
Yeah. We do. It's all good.
Sure. I mean, it's all part of the plan, too,
yes.
Right?
So...
So that is eclipses and some of the new moons.
Mm-hmm. We also, in March, there's the...
Yes, but there was something we were... Oh, you didn't finish up something with...
Mercury retrograde.
Oh, Mercury retrograde.
Right, so Mercury stations retrograde January 21st, 2015
right.
at 17 degrees of Aquarius. It will station direct at 1 degree of Aquarius. So it's still in the sign of Aquarius. All Mercury retrogrades this year are in air signs, which is about enlightenment. So the energy of the Mercury retrogrades or the purpose behind them is to enlighten us on some level. Okay. So when we think of a Mercury retrograde, we think of the chaos that transpires, the miscommunication, the heavy traffic, the accidents, the like all that chaotic stuff. But if you think about it, all of that pulls you into ego.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So because it's speaking to a day-to-day issue versus a higher soul self issue.
Right.
Okay. Unless, of course, there is exact hits in your chart where, so if it's retrograding exactly where your natal Mercury is,
right.
then you're going through some form of life lesson, mental realignment.
Okay.
So, you know, those are the few exceptions, but on a typical mass level, Mercury retrograde plays havoc with our ego because it's miscommunicating, it's creating issues between people based on miscommunication.
So if I understand, because it's an air sign, it may not affect devices as much as it affects our communication from...
Right. No, devices today are devices of communication are our smartphone, okay, our computers,
right.
Email. So those, like, and it's, but it's also reading, writing, it's how we're perceiving things.
Okay.
Look at how impersonal texts are. And unless you know the individual and you know their sense of humor, you can often misperceive the intention behind
it
a text.
It happens all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
and
the
that's
time.
When you know the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let alone not know the person.
It's true.
So, and I'm finding more and more clients want to book appointments via text.
Really?
Yeah. They're like, can we text to set up an appointment? I'm sure.
Sure.
Right? But to set up an appointment is one thing.
Yeah.
Right. Having a conversation via text is another.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do know that the Mercury retrograde taking place in January, February is about secrets being revealed.
Okay.
So, and, you know, the energy's already kind of come into play with the whole Sony mishap of the email leaks, right?
And when did that happen?
That happened towards the end of December.
Okay.
Now, the shadow period doesn't start till, well, it started January 6th.
So yesterday.
Yeah. But I also think that the, I think there's other energies at play in terms of, you know, what's secret, what's not.
Right.
A lesson I learned when I was a kid is if you don't want somebody to know it, never put it down.
Right.
On paper.
Well, and you said that because Saturn's in Sagittarius, that it's all about the truth coming out anyway.
Yes, it is about the truth coming out.
Right.
So we have
secrets
like...
and truth that they kind of kind of come together.
They do.
Right.
So it is. It's interesting.
We have three sets of.
We have three sets. The next one will be May 18th to June 11th.
Okay.
In the sign of Gemini. And here we need to find techniques of transcendence that will assist in reaching beyond established forms. So again, we're speaking about communication.
Okay.
Gemini is a very social energy. Okay. It's about social interaction. It is about the words itself. Okay. It is about the reading and the writing.
Okay.
So be very, very, you know, do the, what I call the triple check. Type out your email, read it, walk away.
Right. Go back. Yeah.
Read it again. Remove the emotion.
Yeah.
Stick to the facts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Gemini loves facts. Gemini is all about the facts.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
So although they can be emotional.
Right.
Right. But you got to keep it to the logic.
And also Gemini is like the sign of the twins. So there may be the opposites.
And here's a biggie.
Okay.
Gemini's ruling planet is Mercury.
Oh. So it could be the tough one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be the one that has potential for intensity. And then the last one was September 17th to October 9th, where it will be retrograde in the sign of Libra, which is around relationship. And here there is a need for focusing on repairing the link between the unconscious mind and the ego consciousness.
And the only thing I think about in September is that that's when Venus is retrograde, although it starts in August, I think. No, July?
Venus is ruled by the sign of Leo.
Right.
Libra, sorry. And Taurus. Venus retrograde is July 25th to September the 6th.
Okay.
And with, you know, when Venus is retrograde, we're looking at our relationship issues.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's also our relationship with money.
Oh, right.
Okay. So it's not just our relationship with other people. It's also our relationship with money.
Well, a lot of people are saying that it's going to mess up weddings and stuff because most people get married in the summer, right?
Yes.
So there's going to be some, well, at least the Mercury isn't in there at that time.
No, Mercury will be just before that, I believe.
June, then after.
May to June. Post shadow going to June 27th on that Mercury retrograde. So
the next one will catch the very end of it probably.
Yeah.
Right, the post or the pre-shadow.
So here we in the Venus retrograde, we're looking at the organic pattern of our evolution in terms of how we relate to other people or our relationship to money. And you really need to look at, you know, those different levels, the ego, the sense of spirit, as well as your interactions with others, right? Because we're dealing with evolutionary energy with this particular Venus retrograde. It retrogrades at 0 degrees of Virgo.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So we would like to think it's about a new beginning, but it's before we can initiate that new beginning. We need to complete something in the relationship cycle. And I'm saying within the relationship cycle because it'll be stationing direct at 14 degrees of Leo.
Okay.
Okay. So it's going to be retrograding in our sign for the year, which is Leo.
Right.
Right. So we need to look at our relationship with our children. We need to look at relationship with our romantic partners, which doesn't necessarily mean our sexual partner or our married partner. Okay. So it's more that those creative relationships.
Okay.
Okay. So anybody that you're involved in any creative activities with.
Okay.
it's not suggested to start a relationship.
Right.
During this time period.
Well, if you do, it'll be a lot of
lessons.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's hard. It just means there's lessons.
Yeah.
And again, we're looking at evolution.
And probably won't last.
More than likely, no.
No.
And I hate to say that because there always is the potential.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. There's always that person or people that go against the grain and that are meant to go against the grain.
Okay. And they may have Venus retrograde in their chart too, right?
And you know, so there's exactly. And if Venus is retrograde in your chart, then a Venus retrograde period to be in a relationship is very beneficial.
Right.
So, and that's why I'm saying like, there's always that handful of people that go against the grain.
Right.
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 And who knows, it could be you're completing something with somebody from a past life.
Then they also may use it as an excuse as to why something didn't work. Right. Which is even worse.
Never use astrology as an excuse.
No.
It is not meant for an excuse. It is meant for a learning. Yeah. It is meant
well,
to
just
see,
guidance to, so you can
yeah, so that you can see something different than what your ego is allowing you to see.
Right.
Yeah. So Jupiter's retrograde.
I think we'll go to break. And
okay.
When we come back, we'll talk about that. And if there's anything else that we've missed.
Yeah, there are some few things that we've missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what happens in March that we're avoiding completely.
Okay, we'll go back to March then.
Yeah, all right. You are listening to News for the Heart with Nancy Ruda and Lori Houston. If you want more information about Nancy, go to her website, universalsky.com, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better, why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with bmajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back to our last segment of the 2015 What's Up with the Universe Sky. We will have Nancy back during the year, hopefully. I don't know. Before the solstice, anyway, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, but definitely before solstice. All right. So we've been talking all about the different things that are going on. We've sort of been purposely avoiding some of the things that are going on in March, which I think maybe we should readdress, because there's some good things though that are happening
there
in March,
are
too,
some
so we don't need to say it's all bad. It's just this one final aspect which could be positive. I mean, actually, it could really be positive, but I think whatever hasn't been brought to the surface will
be brought to the surface.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically in March, so we've already felt a shift in 2015.
Definitely.
The little bit of residual that's left over kind of from 2014 kind of lingers until March.
Right.
And then in March, there's plenty of opportunities
for a
to let go.
Well, a big shift. Like, I think this is it'll be, you know, the equinox. I mean, that day I think is a good day, because I think that will be the final change.
Well, and I see the equinox, the spring equinox, as a rebirthing energy. So it's
exactly.
When the earth is born again, right? So there is the potential to move forward in terms of, you know, integrating or moving beyond the change that
we have the solar eclipse. So it adds to that
intensity to it.
So I mean, a real shift, like a real opportunity to make.
I can say,
huge.
Thank goodness there is no Mercury retrograde in March.
Yeah, really.
But we start the month off March 3rd with Jupiter trine Uranus, which is a beneficial energy, which we've already experienced in September of 2014.
Okay.
Okay, it's a lucky windfall energy, personal advancements, new truths coming up, the opportunity to learn or teach, study, travel, all that stuff that awakens you to your desire, your inner passion. Okay, so it's a very open kind of exciting energy, right, which is a great way to start the month.
Okay, right.
And try and truly hold on to that vibe as you go through the rest of the month, because as we hit March 14th, Saturn stations retrograde,
and right before that, does, we do have the Friday the 13th,
right?
And we have, that means we have for two for sure, which is February and March. Not that Friday the 13th is necessarily unlucky. I don't necessarily see that as an unlucky day. It's just that there's so many people that are
don't
superstitious.
Like, yes.
Right? So it builds that energy. So yeah. Then the very next day is the 14th.
And Saturn stationing retrograde. And whenever it does, there's a heavy energy. Okay? So you can, as it approaches, as Saturn stations starts to station, which is 3 to 4 days beforehand, it actually feels like you're gaining weight.
Mm.
Right? And you feel heavier and heavier and heavier, or you're like, you're slouching and your shoulders come forward and there's this closing off of the chest.
Right.
Okay. Which is how I can physically describe the energy of a physical Saturn retrograde. That's only during the station. Once it goes retrograde, it lightens up again. Right.
Right. Right.
So,
until it heads into Scorpio, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be heading into Scorpio on June 14th.
Right.
When it stations retrograde until August 2nd. It stations direct on August 2nd. Sorry. So, okay. Then a couple days later.
Right.
We are completing. Drum roll, please.
Finally.
The seven hit.
The seventh hit.
Ugh. 3 year. 4 year. 4 year.
No, 3 year.
Oh, 2012, 13, 14, 15. 4 years.
Okay, well, that's
3.5 years.
Yeah.
Uranus square Pluto aspect.
Yeah.
And again, this aspect was about power. How to control the power in your life and not the lives of others. How to, when all your emotional attachments are being challenged. Okay. So, and typically when our emotional attachments are being challenged, we go right to a fear of loss. It does not mean that fear of loss needs to manifest. Okay? It's just there. And remember, fear is simply false evidence appearing real. Okay? It doesn't mean it is real. A lot of people would be beneficial for them to seek therapy or higher understanding, however they do receive that higher understanding. And the question to ask yourself is, why am I attracting what's happening? Okay? Mm-hmm. Because this last hit on March 16th, 2015, is all about transcendence.
Mm.
It is the final bit of change that needs to integrate into your own personal life.
Okay.
Not your partner's life, not your children's lives, not your coworkers' lives, not anybody else's life other than your own. Okay. And that's where a lot of the grief comes from. We start to push it on other people.
Yes.
Creating the grief.
Yes.
So the March lineup, because then on March 20th, it's
the solstice
as well as
equinox.
The eclipse.
Yeah.
Equinox.
Yeah, I know. I said solstice.
Equinox as well as the eclipse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So March is a pretty intense month. It's also the March break.
Yeah.
Okay. So kids will be at home versus at school.
Oh, yeah.
Kids will be out on the street playing. Hopefully it'll be springtime, like in the weather, like today.
Right.
So there's a lot of things lining up in the month of March that, you know what, just breathe. Breathe your way through the month of March.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be an interesting year. At least it starts off with a positive, right?
Yes. Potential for breakthrough. Breakthrough.
Break down to breakthrough.
Break free.
Ah, I like that.
Yeah. I like the break free energy.
Yeah. And that's what it should be doing, because it's the very end of it. So
it's the end of it.
Be...
It's the seventh hit.
Right.
And here we are talking about our spiritual mastery completion. Yay.
And all I can say is when April 1st hits, see you later, bye-bye.
You're funny.
To the March energy.
Yes, yes. Well, I think that whatever happens in March, it's like it's the true shift, like the true turnover of 2015.
Yeah. And the residual does go into the beginning of April with the lunar eclipse on April 4th. But you know what? It's a transitional time. So it is a time where, you know, we're going from who we thought we were.
Right.
To who we are meant to be.
Right. Nice. Yeah. So I think, you know, I feel that once we hit that, I mean, the only other snag for the year is Venus, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, you know what? Just set the intention to be, for it to be easy.
Yeah. Take all your vacation.
Take the whole summer off.
There you go. Yeah.
Be single this summer.
Have fun. Yeah.
If only it was that easy.
Yeah. Only. But, yeah, I think this will be a little bit more intense than Venus retrograde. It's just for women, you say that, you know, Venus
retrograde.
There's the
potential for depression.
Right.
For women or anybody who's working strongly with Venus energy. Okay. So you can think of Tauruses. You can pull in Libras. You can pull in women. You can pull in men who are very feminine.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's the potential for depression. You just need to remember, nothing is really that bad.
Right.
Right. Right. So, you know, it's just because something's changing or you're letting go of something, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
It's the beginning of a new one.
There you go. So your feel for this year, I know we kind of missed that.
I'm very excited about this year.
Yeah.
Right. It's the juicy year.
The juicy year.
I am very excited about this year. To me, it's lighter. It's enlightening. There's the potential to let go of those final things that are holding you down or pulling you back. I'm excited about this year.
Yeah. I think it's the first year that a lot of people have agreed that they're excited about it. It's like a lot of people are feeling the same energy that it's going to be exciting. It's going to be, you know, a real tide changer.
Totally.
Which, you know, we need. I think there's, you know, it's been so heavy for so long, especially, you know, the Pluto-Uranus square thing. That seems to have affected, you know, a lot of people for quite a while.
It's been a very intense. When our emotional attachments are being challenged, you know, anything that you're attached to on an emotional level is saying, let go.
Right.
Right? Let go of your need to have something happen a specific way.
The Saturn retrograde, when does it actually leave and go back into Sagittarius?
It goes direct August 2nd at 28 degrees of Scorpio. And then it will move back into the sign of Sagittarius on September 17th.
Okay.
At 10:49 p.m.
All right.
Eastern time. Saturn in Sag is a test of faith. So but it's also the development of wisdom and stabilizing your views on life.
Right.
Right. So it's an interesting energy. And we'll just say that.
Yeah. Well, but it's a lot lighter than Scorpio.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Like I think, it is. You know, I do believe, you know, what you've said about, you know, the truth needing to come out and stuff. And I think that that's been the way for a very long time. You know, the truth does need to come out. There's a lot of changes that need to be made. Doesn't necessarily mean they have to be negative. It just, the truth needs to come out. We need to know the truth. But Scorpio was just, it just was so heavy.
Well, because it's, and maybe Saturn's, it was about limitation and restriction. Yes. So we're limiting and restricting our deep unconscious aspects of self.
When it's in Scorpio?
When it was in Scorpio.
Mm. Right. So when Scorpio's a very intense energy to begin with. Yeah. And here we're restricting that intensity.
Right.
Right. So we're putting more of a focus on the intensity of the Scorpio energy through the restriction. Right. So in Sag is a very big, jovial, loud, exuberant, grandiose energy. So to restrict that, it's to give you the ability to take your big dream and make it a reality through the point of restriction.
Okay.
Okay. So it's about taking that exuberance and excitement and channeling it productively.
Right.
So yeah, some people might not like the truth being revealed.
Well, that's certainly in certain areas, yeah, for sure.
You know, and think of it, big lessons mean big blessings. Right?
Well, there's a positive twist on it. sometimes you don't get the blessing for a while, but yes.
It's all good. There's always a blessing, right? It's also insisting that you walk your talk.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's where the lesson is. Can you be truthful to yourself? Can you speak your truth from the heart, right, not the ego?
Right.
Okay. Can you fight for what you believe in? And I don't mean like fight.
Right.
I mean,
right,
can you stand up for what you believe in?
Okay.
Right. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. The only downside to Saturn in Sagittarius.
Oh, it's because you're a Sag.
But it's not this year.
Okay.
It's towards the later degrees. We've always experienced stock market crashes.
Right. Corrections.
Corrections. Stock, yes, market corrections. There we go.
There you go. Which has already been happening.
There's been some adjustments.
There has.
So,
not,
yeah,
huge, but yeah, no, there's been some adjustments.
You know, there's religious scandals, political scandals, all those things might come out. But again, truth.
Truth.
Right? And when we have a stock market adjustment, okay, it's correction. Because, correction and adjustment.
Yeah, listen.
It is because we've been living unrealistically.
I know.
So it's just a realignment energy.
And those are the areas that need to shift anyway. Like those, the big corporations, yeah, some of that stuff has to change.
It does.
Somebody thought that one of the big things would be like a pharmaceutical. I don't know if that will happen or not.
But, it's a possibility.
You know, the truth coming out about, you know, how
health.
Well, like some of the things that are supposed to be helping us are making us sick in other areas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of the things that may be taken as superficial,
yeah,
you know, could actually be damaging your liver, your kidneys, yeah, you know.
And there's like, also the food industry as well.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So,
yes,
yeah, there is mm-hmm, changes afoot.
Yeah, for sure. And so you're saying that that's probably not until next year then.
Yeah, it's towards the end of, it typically happens around 28 degrees of Sag.
Oh, okay.
So we've just started.
Yeah.
It's a 2 to 2.5 year transit. Yeah. Okay. So it's
yeah,
end of next year, beginning of 2017-ish.
Mm-hmm. Ish.
So if you don't want to be affected, start making plans today so that
yeah,
you're not pulled into the loop then.
Right. All right. Well,
thank you. You know what? Nancy. Focus on this year. It's a great year.
Great year. So,
great
there
year.
You go.
Great year. That's how I'm living it.
Year by year, day by day.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
And it's always a pleasure. So again, if you want more information about Nancy, go to her website, universalsky.com. If you want more information about me, go to intuitivesoul.com. We've been getting to the heart of what matters, and we'll have Nancy back sometime this year, probably around solstice. So stay tuned and thank you.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instantfeedback@bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.